The reading is from Matthew 21, verses 1 to 11, which can be found on page 988 of the Church Bibles. Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much indeed, Laura. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. As Hazel said earlier, I'm Phil Andrew and I'm the vicar here, and it's wonderful to see you. Can I say many congratulations to the three little ones who have been baptized this morning, but congratulations to you too for remembering to put your clocks forward. There'll probably be a little rush of people just as our service ends who have forgotten. I want us to think briefly about that story that Laura has just read to us. But first, I wonder what the first thing that came into your mind was when you woke up this morning. Oh, I could do with a bit more sleep. Or maybe you looked out the window and you thought, oh no, another grey, dismal spring day. I can't wait, this is what I thought, for my summer holidays. Hands up if that was your first thought this morning. One or two of you with me. I don't know about you, but I love summer holidays. I love going to the beach. Now, let's be honest, we don't all get to go to a beach like that. Oh, please wait. It might be more like this. And there may be the odd glimpse of sun if you go on your summer holidays in England. But I wonder, hands up if you like going to the beach. Come on, adults as well. Loads of people do. I wonder, hands down, what is your favourite bit of a beach holiday? Is it Punch and Judy? Hands up if you like Punch and Judy. Yes, some of you, well done. Okay, hands down, not very politically correct, I know. What about sandcastles? Hands up if you like making a sandcastle on the beach. Okay, hands down. Hands up if your favourite bit of a beach holiday is the ice cream. Yeah, I thought that would get a lot of people. Or, hands up, okay, hands up if your favourite bit of a beach holiday is the donkeys. Yeah, one or two people. You're very refined. Well done. Fantastic. Now, I want to think about donkeys for a minute and riding on the beach. Do you know, it seems to me it's a bit unfair that donkeys do all the hard work, but we never hear from them what it's like to be a donkey on a beach, do we? So we have commissioned a bit of research, especially for you this morning. We sent our production team from St. Mary's down to the beach to find out what the donkeys think about donkey rides. Listen very carefully to what they had to say.
My family's been out here running the donkey rides since 1886. We've been here, so we're a long-established family, and we've seen a lot of changes over the years.
We're great beach people.
When it does rain, it clears the beach. As soon as you get some rain, there can be thousands of people along the beach. As soon as you get a drop of that rain, they're gone.
The only reason I'm still doing this job is because of the children. If you see their faces as they get off a coach, remember, some have never seen a beach before. and it gives us great pleasure. The children are what make the job.
That nice. Ah, the children make the job. What's all that got to do with Palm Sunday? Well, it has quite a lot to do with Palm Sunday. You see, Palm Sunday, as we've been reminded already, is the day when we celebrate the King comes to town. Jesus rides into Jerusalem. Now, I don't know whether you have seen a king or a president or a queen coming into town. Hands up if you've seen someone really, really important coming into town. You have, lots of you. Fantastic. That's what I'd expect in Reigate. Okay, hands down. I found on YouTube this clip of President Obama, who I think is probably the most important king in the world, although he doesn't call himself a king, coming to Buckingham Palace. This is just a YouTube clip. What I want you to do is count with me how many motorbikes and cars and vans and coaches and even an ambulance accompany President Obama. Okay, let's watch this. One, two, three. Oh, it's exciting. Four, five. Oh, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Well, that might be him. Oh, I don't know. It might be. 11, 12, 13. Well, that's a big one. 14. Oh, another one. That might be him. Oh, where are we? 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I wonder what's in that one. 21, 22, 23, nearly there, 24, 25, oh, someone's fallen off their bike, 26, 27, 28, 29, that looks like that might be it, 30. And now they all have to queue to get into Buckingham Palace. So that's going to take a little while. Oh, is that 31? That's quite a lot of people and cars and things accompanying President Obama. This is the car that the president rides in. It's called the Beast, and it costs about £1 million. It's quite a lot, isn't it? I'm told that when the president travels, he normally travels in his own jumbo jet, and he has a fleet of his own helicopters. And when he travels to another country, he normally takes about 500 personal staff with him. And they include Secret Service agents, as you'd expect, doctors and nurses, drivers, and quite a few chefs, in case the Queen's chef isn't up to the mark. That's amazing, isn't it? Someone so important traveling in such splendor. And I suppose we'd expect that. When someone travels like the president or another member of the royal family, what they travel in says something to us. It makes a statement about how important they are, whether they intend it to or not. What we travel in, maybe some of us drive very, very big cars, and they make a statement about it. But President Obama is not the king of the whole world. Just that bit in green. Can you imagine if the king, not just of the world, but of the universe, came to town? Just imagine that the one who, the Bible says, through whom all things were made. There's nothing in the universe that wasn't made except for him and by him. That's who Jesus is. And he comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's amazing. It's one of those stories that we just take for granted, but it's mind-boggling. Forget, how many did we have? 23? Sorry, you 31. Fantastic. None of them. Now, I know there weren't cars in those days, that there were big horses and there were chariots. Jesus comes on a donkey. Why does he come on a donkey? Well, I think to make a statement. A statement to the people that were listening then at the time, but also a statement to you and me today. It's a story that's been painted millions of times. It's on lots of stained glass windows. And this is what I think Jesus says on Palm Sunday to you and me today. He says, I have come to serve. I think it's a deliberate act. I've come on a donkey to show that I've come to serve. In the previous chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says this. He talks about himself as the Son of Man. The Son of Man did not come to be served. The King of the universe didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. To put it another way, Jesus, at another occasion, said he had come, the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost, to find us and give us purpose and meaning in life. If there's a sense this morning that you're a bit lost, that you're not quite sure where you're going, what you're here for, how valuable you are, Jesus says, I have come to seek and save the lost. I think Jesus is making a statement that says, I am with you and I am for you. I'm not a king that's distant. I'm a king that comes into your midst and knows everything about you, knows what you're going through at the moment and what the future holds. And I'm for you. I think Jesus is saying, I know who I am and what I'm doing. There's a deep security in being able to put away the trappings of royalty and say, I don't need a big horse or a big chariot. I know who I am, and I know in the week ahead what I'm doing and where I'm going. And the reason that's so important is because Jesus knows who he is and what he's doing, you and I can be ourselves with him. You see, Jesus doesn't pretend to be anything different. He comes to serve us, and he says, you don't need to pretend when you come to church, when you talk to me. You can just be utterly yourself. There's nothing about you I don't know, and I love you so much that I died for you. But this is the most challenging bit, maybe. Jesus also says, and it's my last slide, follow me. I'm the king who gave everything for you, who came to serve and to love and to lay my life down. And if you want to follow me, the challenge of being a Christian today isn't just come to church occasionally and grin and bear it. It's to give our lives in the service of Jesus and of each other. And when we learn that, not only do we become more secure and understand who we are and find ourselves, but the world is utterly transformed when we start to live not for ourselves, but for other people. The whole world looks different. All of that, I think, lies within the story of Palm Sunday. All of that lies in the story that we're going to go on together in the week that lies ahead as we prepare to celebrate the life and death and resurrection of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's just say a prayer together, just where you're seated. If you'd like to close your eyes and join me in this prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who made us to be in relationship with you, came to serve us and give your life for every one of us. Thank you for what that tells us about how much you love us. Thank you for what that tells us about who you are and who you long for us to become. Help us, Lord, in the week and the weeks that lie ahead to become a people who don't just serve ourselves, but serve you and each other and your needy world. In your name we pray. Amen.